Hello, welcome to episode 2 of the IFRS for SMEs Accounting Standard podcast. My name is Dinyiko Denere, and I am a technical staff member of the International Accounting Standards Board, or the IASB. Whether you are a returning listener or tuning in for the first time, thank you for joining us as we continue to explore all things related to the third edition of the IFRS for SMEs Accounting Standard. The IASB issued this standard late in February 2025. In this episode, I am happy to be talking to Blaise Colivas. Blaise, could you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hello, Tanico. Nice to be joining you. I'm a corporate reporting advisor providing training and advisory services to clients on the application of IFRS accounting standards, IFRS sustainability standards, and international public sector accounting standards. I'm based in South Africa, but I work with clients throughout the Europe, Middle East, and Africa regions. I'm currently a member of the Financial Reporting Standards Council of South Africa and previously served on the Accounting Standards Board in South Africa.
Thank you, Blaise. Blaise is also a member of the SME Implementation Group, which is a consultative group of the IASB. This group was established to support the global adoption of the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard and to monitor its application. During the second comprehensive review, the SME Implementation Group played a critical role and helped to shape the third edition of the standard. In this episode, we will be discussing the third edition of the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard. I will be asking Blaise to share his expert insights on the key changes to the standard and what this means for SMEs. Let's kick things off. Blaise, what is the status of adoption of the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard in South Africa?
In South Africa, the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard is a formally legislated financial reporting framework that's available for companies. While publicly listed companies must use the full IFRS accounting standards, the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard is by far the most used financial reporting framework. Our former standard setter, the Accounting Practices Board, decided early on to align South African standards with IFRS accounting standards, making us one of the first jurisdictions to adopt the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard when it was issued back in 2009.
So the ISB has updated the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard to improve the information provided to users of SME financial statements while maintaining the simplicity of the standard. Do you have any advice for SMEs or practitioners who are preparing to implement the third edition of the standard?
Well, the last review of the standard was 10 years ago, and it mainly focused on clarifications and improvements on the requirements of the first edition. This time around, the amendments are more substantial across many sections, so it'll be important for companies to start assessing the potential changes as early as possible. My advice is that preparers and auditors of SMEs perform a gap analysis against the new requirements well before they become effective to ensure that they are well prepared for the changes in their first reporting year. Additionally, companies may also have to engage with the users of their financial statements to prepare them for any potential changes.
And Blaise, from your perspective, what specific change in the third edition do you think will have the most impact for SMEs in your jurisdiction? And can you explain why?
I think the biggest change that SMEs will have to consider by far is the revised Section 23 on revenue from contracts with customers. This section aligns with IFRS 15, with appropriate simplifications built in to ease the application of these requirements for SMEs. Today's varied packaged goods and services that companies offer their customers can make revenue recognition complex. The traditional method of having separate recognition models for goods and services might not always reflect the true drivers of revenue. While the final figures might not change significantly, the process of identifying distinct customer promises and valuing them offers greater insight into those figures. All SMEs will feel the effects of the new Section 23, although the degree will depend on their individual contract complexities. But understanding these new requirements for accounting and disclosure will be essential for all SMEs.
Let's now turn our attention to users of SME financial statements. How does the update to the standard translate into benefits for them?
The ISB's alignment approach with full IFRS accounting standards ensures that the users of the SME's financial statements will benefit from the improvements made since the last comprehensive review. A key advantage is that these changes were informed by the real-world application of full IFRS accounting standards. In other words, practical implementation experience has shaped the SME-specific adjustments. Examples include the enhanced revenue recognition requirements that I talked about earlier, as well as the new guidance on fair value measurement for more meaningful information about assets and liabilities that are measured at fair value, and the new guidance for accounts for business combinations, which wasn't present in previous editions. Apart from these changes, many sections now feature improved guidance and clarifications, and these will help SMEs more accurately represent the economic activities in their financial statements.
Now let's focus on your role as a member of the SME Implementation Group. Can you share with our listeners what are the normal activities of this consultative group?
So the SME Implementation Group addresses implementation and application questions, and it assists the ISB in developing educational materials. Since the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard is not updated as frequently as the full IFRS accounting standards, the educational materials offer practical guidance to SMEs until the next comprehensive review of the standard. If urgent amendments to the standard are needed, as was the case in the recent Pillar 2 tax reform amendment, or if a question can't be resolved through educational materials, then we advise the ISB on potential interim changes.
One final question for you, Blaise. Could you share any highlights of your involvement in the process of developing the third edition of the standard?
What I found particularly interesting throughout the process was understanding how the SME Implementation Group members, representing different jurisdictions and industries, brought different practical issues and perspectives to the discussions, which culminated in the refinement of the suite of amendments that were ultimately made in the third edition of the standard.
Blaise, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. I appreciate you taking time to share your insights and experiences.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be here.
Just a quick reminder to our listeners, the third edition was issued last month, along with the basis for conclusions, project summary, and feedback statement and effects analysis. If you would like to submit a question or topic that you'd like us to discuss in the next podcast, send us an email on communications@ifrs.org. Until next time, it's goodbye from us.